We're discussing relationship pain and going through a breakup in the pandemic. It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Glad you could be here. Some psychologists have speculated that the stresses of living through a pandemic combined with the increased time spent together and at home has contributed to a spike in breakups. Regardless, these separations have a massive impact on personal well-being. The period after a breakup can be lonely, it can be disorienting, but with the right tools and mindset, it just might also be clarifying. Is that the case for you? Have you recently been through a breakup? How are you reinvesting in yourself? It's 800-642-1234. Natalia Juarez is a breakup coach and dating consultant. Natalia, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Hi, good morning. Thank you so much for having me.
Good morning. What kind of help, what kind of support systems do people need when they make the decision to break up?
They often need some sort of a trusted confidant, someone who they can just speak freely about all of their feelings to decide for themselves what it is that they'd like to do with their relationship.
Yeah. And so when you have that trusted confidant and you're the person, you know, how should you listen? How should you support? What should you do?
Well, part of what I would listen for as a breakup coach is what really is the root causes of some of their feelings. Are they genuine concerns that this relationship may not be a good match at this point, or could it be potentially stemming from fear or anxiety?
And what might the fear and anxiety piece be? What might be going on there?
Often what I see is there could be couples that have been together for, I would say, somewhere around like a 3 to 5 year mark, and perhaps it's time for them to take the next step in their relationship. And they might be questioning whether or not they're ready for a major commitment such as engagement or marriage. And then that might stir up a lot for them. And so if they have concerns about the relationship, is it really with the relationship or is it more with their relationship to something like marriage?
So if you're that trusted confidant, what about being judgmental? What about taking sides?
Well, there are always two sides. Mm. Always. What's been fascinating about my work is that although I started off as a relationship coach, really loved helping people through the heartbreak process because personally it had been the hardest thing I'd ever been through. But then years ago, things transitioned where I had a lot of people reaching out to me to help them to repair and get back together with their exes.
And in those situations, getting back with your exes, what would you suggest? Is it advisable? Yeah.
Most of the time, it really isn't. I think that desire often stems from fear, this fear of loss, fear of change. And so that's a part of what I listen for. But every so often there could be, it is possible that some of the reasons that led to their breakup are actually resolvable. And so if that's the case and we're able to work on rebuilding and repairing their relationship, but most of the time, like 80 to 90% of the time, the best thing to do is to work on healing and moving on.
What are some resolvable things? What areas could change that would make a relationship feasible again?
Well, so often it isn't until the heartbreak comes in that people connect them with themselves in a different way and perhaps appreciate the relationship in a way that they hadn't before, and then have this renewed willingness to work on the relationship. Things such as they're more willing to commit, more willing to work on themselves, to communicate in a better way. They can see they have a very different perspective of the past relationship and what may have led to that breakup in the first place.
Like, maybe I was taking you for granted before, but now I see what is missing in my life and I'm willing to work on that and also realize just what I have. Are those some of the feelings?
Yes. Yes. And I hear that all the time. And so that's why, you know, part of my message is if people are considering a breakup, like so often they, especially now with the pandemic, it might be frustration. There might be certain things in their relationship that they could work on because I don't want to necessarily, I don't want them to get to the place where then they break up and then they regret it, because repairing a relationship is incredibly difficult. So I think once you're in it, there's so much that people can do to work on their relationships.
We're talking with Natalia Juarez, who's a breakup coach, dating consultant, as we discuss love in pandemic times. You can join in. How long do you think it takes to get over the heartbreak or the end of a relationship? What did you learn about yourself after your last breakup? What was your post-breakup self-care? Join in at 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Natalia, what should someone do to prepare for breaking up with that loved one? I mean, how should you prepare yourself?
Well, because I work with people all along the spectrum, breaking up is so hard. There's this concept of conscious uncoupling, which I really love the idea of, which is really breaking up with love and respect and compassion. So often things don't go down that way. So, however, I believe that things, even though breaking up is hard, you can still work on making it, trying to make it a healthy breakup. And this includes open communication. So often I see with the person who has been broken up with that one of the hardest parts of it all is that it felt like it came out of nowhere. Meanwhile, for the person who's initiating, it's probably been in the works in their mind, at least for a long time.
So if it came out of nowhere for that other person, their emotions might be feeling bitter or just completely taken aback.
Oh, yes.
And just wondering what is going on here, completely blindsided.
Yes. And that's why for the person who is initiating, breaking up is, it's a part of life. We often look at it like there's something wrong with it. Meanwhile, so many relationships aren't meant to last a lifetime. Statistically, and I think it's probably more, they say we'll have between 2 and 3 long-term relationships in our life. And if that's the case, learning how to have difficult conversations, to process the end, to end a relationship at least with respect and kindness is a skill.
And having that respect and kindness, that has to go both ways. I mean, both parties have to have those feelings of, I get you, this is not anymore. You know, how do you make sure that it's not just one person showing that compassion, showing that respect and kindness?
So much of what makes breakups hard is that people are often not on the same page. There's often one partner who's leaning out and the other one who then is triggered, activated, this fear of loss, and they lean in and they want to cling and hold on to the relationship. And again, that a lot of that stems with this fear of loss. So for the person who is being broken up with, that is grief. They are based, and grief is, it's the natural expression and human reaction to loss.
I think we're having trouble. Natalia, are you still there? We're having trouble hearing you.
Yes, I'm still here. Can
okay.
you hear me?
Yeah, now we can hear you. There was just this a long pause. I think that maybe had some connection issues. Carry on.
Okay. Yes. So for the person who is broken up with, this is really where I feel the heart of my coaching practice is, because we are often, it's like having a broken bone. We wouldn't, you know, if you broke your arm, you wouldn't expect that it's just going to heal on its own. You would care for it, tend to it, make sure that the bone was set properly so that it could heal correctly. And it's the same with a broken heart. And it's incredible that for something that is such a painful human experience, that more of us don't have more of a better understanding of the psychology and a lot of the tools that are available to us to help us to process this heartbreak in a meaningful way and to accelerate the healing.
What about those feelings of, I'm not good enough. I'm not good enough for this person. That's why this happened. And trying to get over that feeling that, you know, you should have been better.
And these are a lot of you're speaking to so many of the difficult emotions that come up in some of the thought processes. Because yes, there is this feeling of a deep sense of rejection of, was there anything that I did wrong? Was I not enough? And That is so often, that is, it is often not the case that you did anything wrong. It's just that the relationship, there began to have be tension in the relationship as it was less of a match based on where the two of you were in life. And there are so many factors that go into a relationship. There's the connection. There's whether or not you have compatible values, communication, the sense of commitment, compatibility. It's a lot.
Natalia Juarez is a dating coach who helps people make sense of love and what are the possible next steps in this relationship. What were the biggest hurdles you went through in finding yourself after a long-time relationship came to an end? How did you get the strength to break up with who you thought was your soulmate? What emotions washed over you in the breakup? Join in 800-642-1234. Back in a minute with Natalia Juarez here on the Ideas Network. We're talking about the process of ending a romantic relationship and what it's like afterward. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. According to a survey released by the Kinsey Institute and Love Honey Group in July, both single people and people in relationships, they reported a mix of how their sex lives have changed or stayed the same during the pandemic. The authors said the pandemic seems to have fundamentally shifted how a lot of people think about sex and relationships. What was at the heart of your breakup? Were the two of you on the same page about parting ways, or did one of you want to keep working on the relationship? Join in 800-642-1234. Natalia Juarez is with us for the hour. Natalia, there can be all kinds of relationships, a long one, a short one, intense, maybe even a boring, but generally speaking, what are common things that come up during breakups?
For which party?
Well, you know, for the party that you see and that you advise in consulting.
So years ago, when I had first started doing this, it was really around helping the person who had been broken up with. What I never expected was that people would reach out to me for help to break up, mm-hmm. whether they needed help deciding or they knew what they needed to do. We're having difficulty with the emotions, the logistics. Say, for example, if people were living together, they didn't know how to break up, or if they shared a pet, or if they had children, or if they work together. There's a lot of complexity that really plays into each relationship.
And when you talk about logistics, what do you mean there?
So, for example, if people live together, how do you initiate a breakup? The person who you see every single day, you need some sort of a bit of a plan of how are you going to introduce this conversation? Do you want to give it some time? You want to introduce perhaps to let the other person know, you know, I'm having concerns around some of these areas of our relationship. And then you have a period where you try to openly work on that. And then if it doesn't work out, then what becomes the exit plan?
Yeah, and certainly who is moving out? Another issue because, you know, housing in so many areas of the country is very expensive and is very tight in these times.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I'm up in Toronto, Canada, and there are the exact same issues. So often whether people will stay with family or friends or rent a short-term rental, or if they have to somehow figure out how to cohabitate while they're going through this breakup.
And you mentioned children. What do you advise when there are children involved in the breakup?
Once again, so often it comes back to having healthy, effective communication. And I know that doesn't always solve everything in the short term, but in the long term, the person who's broken up with will respect you if you have done some of the difficult work of letting them know how you were feeling. So yes, because with children, when children are involved, it's that much more important to attempt as best as possible to have some sort of a healthy, kind, compassionate breakup.
And what about sitting down with the children together and moving through the process of a breakup together? What do you advise there?
So it's a lot like grief. Sometimes we end up wanting to protect children and telling them things that perhaps won't make sense to their worldview. So just letting them know what is happening, that there is still love, but that, you know, you two are not in love you're in love together in a different way, and that this may be changing things, that you may not be living together, but reassuring the child that this doesn't change anything in their life, that there is still as much love as there ever was.
We're talking with Natalia Juarez, who is a breakup coach, a dating consultant, and we're discussing relationships coming to end, especially in these pandemic times. You can join in. What do you wish you had known about healing and about heartbreak that you had to learn along the way in a breakup? What have you realized in a pandemic breakup? Join in at 800-642-1234. Tom is joining us from Burlington with thoughts on this. Hi, Tom. Go ahead.
It's such an extreme subject, so difficult. But lately I've been questioning this idea that if you have a problem, if your mind can only think of one thing at a time, only one thing at a time. So if you can put your mind on something else, get interested in something else and focus on something else, and whenever you start to go into that area that's the bad area not to go into, that if you try to keep your mind in the other area, and it's sort of like disciplining your mind to stay out of one place and you can go into another place. But it's very, very difficult, and you have to do it every day. You have to kind of discipline your mind to do that. I wonder what you think about that.
Tom, thank you. What about that psychology, Natalia?
So, Thomas, are you saying that if you're in a relationship that you're to focus on more of the positive? Is that what you're suggesting?
Well, that could possibly be true, but I'm just thinking it would handle for any kind of traumatic situation that you're trying to deal with. You have to put your mind someplace else.
Hmm. Yeah, Tom, thanks.
Right. Yes. So after a breakup, especially for the person who's been broken up with, it is so common to then begin to romanticize the relationship and remember all of the good. And there actually is psychology to this, because considering the fact that we are wired for love, we are wired for attachment, that when there is a rupture in that attachment, a part of our brain begins to remind us of everything that was good to try to reestablish that connection. And so a part of what we need to do in terms of recovery is to bring that perspective into balance. And that's why a common suggestion is to try to remember a lot of the challenges that were associated with that relationship, so that it was difficult, that you two were perhaps not compatible in certain ways. And then you focus on that quote unquote negative until you begin feeling better. And then once you're in a good place, you can kind of look back on the relationship and see the positives and the negatives.
Natalia, generally speaking, how much time would you give it? How much time should a person give themselves to, quote unquote, get over a breakup?
Well, it really depends on how long people were together, the intensity of the relationship, the level of commitment. So I would say for like average relationships that are maybe up to about 5 years or so, it would take about 6 months. And I kind of give that two cycles of 3 months. But for longer relationships, you can expect that it could take a year or a little bit longer. Sometimes we need that calendar year to go through a lot of those anniversaries, like your first Christmas alone, your first birthday alone, to really process the loss.
How has the pandemic affected breakups? What have you seen?
Oh my, it's made it so much harder. It's a lot of what people would often rely on is not accessible. So say spending time with friends, getting out, joining new activities, starting a hobby, you know, distracting yourself by, you know, going into work. So people are often, they're home, they're just like in it, there's there's not that same boundaries that they have between their home life and their public life. So I find heartbreak has become a lot more complicated in terms of like the grief recovery.
We're talking with dating strategist Natalia Juarez, who is fielding your questions on how to heal after a breakup. Did a breakup give you more time, maybe more energy to explore what you truly want in life? Or did it make you feel lost for a while and down? What have your friends said to you? Have you picked up a hobby or spent more time on other things? Join in, 800-642-1234. We'll pick this up with Natalia Juarez after a news update here on the Ideas Network. Do you view ending a relationship as a new beginning, a chance to start over with a clean slate, a blank canvas? We're discussing romantic relationships and going through a breakup in these pandemic times on The Morning Show. I'm Kedar Chirkan. Thanks for being here. No doubt people have been inundated by life changes over the past year and a half, loved ones having passed away, lost jobs, becoming ill. Has your relationship survived these times? Are you and your partner still together or going through a breakup? What questions do you have? Join in, 800-642-1234. Natalia Juarez is a dating consultant and with us for the hour. Natalia, we heard from Dan in Winona, Minnesota, called in and couldn't stay with us. And Dan wonders if people might initially feel elated about ending a relationship or about getting separated, but later feel a sense of remorse. And Dan wonders, how do you cope with that remorse?
Okay. Yes, that is such, it's such a common experience that yes, it can be when you're focused on all of the problems and you're really connected to what is not working in your relationship, then when it does eventually happen, you could feel a lot of relief. But then as you're beginning to integrate that life transition, you may reconnect with, in your mind at least, with everything that you do miss. And that's why it's so important to be really grounded in the reasons for your breakup, so that later on, if those feelings of regret, remorse, confusion, all of that comes up, that you're able to stay anchored in the reasons for the breakup.
Because it's natural, I would assume, to remember the good times together, to have
yes.
those flashbacks.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And because the truth of it is, for most relationships, you may have been there for a reason. Mm-hmm. So there was all of the positives, all of the good times, but yes, and then also all of the challenges. And that's when you know someone is in a true place of acceptance and a healthy perspective, when they can see the relationship, the good and the bad.
Can you reveal a little bit more about how you found yourself in this line of work, how you became a breakup coach after, you know, your second engagement and you were turning 30 and you broke it off? Can you take us back there?
Yes. So yes, it was my second major breakup. It was a broken engagement that was 10 years ago, 6 months before I was turning 30. And so looking back now, I can really see that there was so much going on at that time. Not only was I processing the ending of a loving relationship, but also one that where we were engaged, I thought I had so many hopes and dreams wrapped up in that engagement. And then to add to that, the fact that I was turning 30, and as a person, as a woman, I also had a lot of expectations on myself of what my life should look like. So I think there was that loss and that grief was multifaceted at that time. And so when that happened, I thought, I am the common denominator. I need to turn my love life around because I don't want to repeat my 20s in my 30s. And that's what led me to begin learning a lot about relationships and especially heartbreak, because I really was committed to wanting to grow through it. And that was how I ended up becoming a breakup coach and dating strategist.
You know, a decade later, how do you feel about what you went through? And have you still continued to evolve emotionally from those two breakups?
Yes. Yes. It was, I can honestly say now that it was one of the greatest gifts of my life, that heartbreak. It broke me open. It was humbling. And then when I began to discover just how beautifully complex relationships are, and that is, it requires an ongoing set of skill sets, in particular communication. But the communication as well, like with our partner, but also even the relationship with ourselves. Because time and time again, research will show that the quality of our life is determined by the quality of our relationships. But I would take that one step further to say that the quality of those relationships are determined by the quality of the individual. And so that's incredibly empowering, because so often when people are focused more on thinking they need to find someone, or they're looking for happiness and fulfillment in their relationships with others, what is always within your realm of control is the relationship with yourself. And there's so much that you can do. You can do there in terms of whether it's therapy, coaching, journaling, just really beginning to connect with yourself.
And we're going to look more at those areas here in a moment about working with a coach or a therapist. But we heard from Kathy in Dodgeville, who has a metaphor that she wants to run by you. And Kathy writes, "After my last breakup, after a decade, I found myself referring to how I was feeling as my apple cart upset. I realized the apples were on the ground and in a terrible jumble, but I could carefully pick them up and replace them on the cart, not in the same place or exactly the same condition. And, you know, a few might have been more bruised than others, but most were intact and could be resettled most comfortably, and my apple cart of life could go on." What do you make of that?
I love that. Yes, because that's often how it feels. It's just, it's so overwhelming if you think of having to pick up all of these apples all at once. And so it does, heartbreak does slow us down. And what's beautiful about it is that also, like in life, we can be so distracted with so many things, but heartbreak will make us just, it slows us down. It feels like time moves slower, days are longer. And so, yes, you can begin. There is time for you to process the heartbreak. Give yourself that time and ensure that you're doing a lot of the behaviors to help your healing, and also some of your thought patterns as you pick up all of the apples of your life.
Yeah, Kathy, thank you for the apples. We're talking with Natalia Juarez, a breakup coach and dating strategist, as we discuss relationships coming to an end in these times. You can join in with your thoughts, your situation. Have you recently ended a romantic relationship? Are you having a hard time getting over a breakup and the heartbreak? What were the biggest hurdles you went through in finding yourself after a long-time relationship came to an end? Join in at 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org. Natalia, what are the benefits do you see for people working with a consultant, working with a dating coach?
It would be that you can work through in an accelerated fashion, that there is some sort of a structure to the process, instead of, because emotions sometimes can take us into very dark, destructive, unproductive places. And so this will just, it helps you to kind of keep it contained, to work through a lot of the challenges that are happening in a structured way, so that you can really grow through the process and not have to stay stuck in the pain for longer than you need to be. Like heartbreak, it is difficult. There's a lot of big, negative, hard emotions associated with it, and we can't emotionally bypass that experience, but we can make it more meaningful.
You mentioned journaling. What does writing do for a person going through a breakup?
There is so much research behind journaling, and many people find it to be a difficult habit because they have to, you know, slow down or find a time for it. Or sometimes, because I work with a lot of men, they'll sometimes think that that tends to be some more of a practice that that's for women. It is not. It is not. It could be because there's something so powerful about getting things out of your head. And if you don't want to commit it to paper, you could always just write it, get it out, explore your feelings, go deep, and then you could always shred that paper so that you don't stop yourself from expressing what's within you. Like, that heartbreak needs expression, and journaling is absolutely one of the best ways.
I'm sure you've thought about it, but why does your clientele are mostly men? Why do you work mostly with men, do you think?
So I was really surprised by it. People are always surprised. So 70% of my clients are men. And I think that is because women tend to be a bit more resourceful when it comes to managing their emotions. They have more tools that are accessible to them. For example, how we had talked about, you know, journaling, like they're more, a lot of those habits tend to be feminized. And so there's that. Women are more willing to talk about it with their friends. They have more of a support network.
Oh, they have girlfriends.
Yeah. Like for a lot of men, they maybe will talk about it a little bit with their guy friends, and then they'll just kind of move on and talk about other things. And yeah, that always really surprises me. But I think men just, they appreciate having someone who I don't get tired of hearing about heartbreak. You could just talk about it again and again. And yes, and it's unfortunate that men don't necessarily have that same support network.
What do you see as the difference between your first session with a client and the last session? Like, can you set us up with a bit of contrast there?
Oh, I love that question. People often come in judging their experience. They're like, oh, like they can be apologetic, telling themselves they're expressing something, but they're holding themselves back of like, well, I kind of think this, but I know I shouldn't think that. And I just remind them, we're not here to judge any of it. We're just here to like, for you to express it, let it out, and to process it, restructure it, and then to move on. Because feelings, grief needs, it needs attention. Those feelings need to be validated in order to release them, as opposed to just repressing and compartmentalizing them and trying to bury them by distracting ourselves.
Do you find that in that last session, people are visibly in a better place? What are they saying to you?
Yes, they are. Their language is a lot different.
Okay.
They're a lot lighter with what they're feeling. And then one thing I love is identifying that, you know, a part of me feels this. And like, you didn't choose that feeling. But it's like, you know, a part of me feels kind of resentful about this. A part of me is upset about that. A part of me kind of misses this one thing that we used to do. And so they're less judgmental, less attached, and more connected to themselves.
It sounds very matter of fact. Like, this is just a part of me, and that is that.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. And with some of those feelings, I'll ask them, I'm like, is this something that is causing you distress or something that you want to work through? And sometimes they're like, no, it's just kind of there. And they just needed to acknowledge it.
We're talking about the relationship testing times and life after a breakup with Natalia Juarez, who's a breakup coach and dating consultant in Toronto. What did you learn about yourself after your last breakup? What was your post-breakup self-care routine? Do you entertain reconnecting ever with your ex? Did you seek out professional help or therapy after a breakup? How did it change your mental well-being and your outlook? Still time to talk, 800-642-1234. Back in a minute with Natalia Juarez here on the Ideas Network. Thank you. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Glad you could be here. We're in conversation with the breakup coach and dating consultant Natalia Juarez about how to process that heartbreak, what to do about the ripple effect on future relationships. What are you going through in your relationship? Have you decided to break it off? And then what happened? Join in 800-642-1234. Natalia is with us for about 9 more minutes. Something we haven't talked about, Natalia, is social media. And for some people, social media is a big part of their lives. What do you recommend doing with these connections to exes on social media?
It definitely depends on the type of relationship that you had, how long you two were together, the reasons for the breakup. I talk about social media every single day in my practice. It's the way, especially now with pandemic, is because people, that's one of people's outlets, one of the main ways that they're connecting. And so after a breakup, it is really important to take some time for yourself. Social media is not the place to process your heartbreak. And whether you're feeling heartbroken and maybe you want to post something hoping that your ex is going to take a look at it, and you're kind of communicating through that vehicle, it is really ineffective, and so much can get lost in translation. I think it's so much better to take the higher road, give yourself time, minimize social media contact at all.
Even like LinkedIn can be a problem?
Well, LinkedIn's probably the least problematic.
Okay.
So what I see more is Instagram. Oh my goodness. And stories. And did your ex watch your stories? And it is that, this goes back to a lot of the problematic behaviors. That is not going to help you to move forward. So perhaps in that first, because when a breakup first happens, first there's that survival phase where it just happens and you're complete shock, and that only lasts a few days. But then people move into a withdrawal period that can last anywhere from 4 to 6 weeks on the shorter end, or it can be really extended if people continue to participate in these behaviors. So you're only delaying your own healing.
How do you know? How do you know when you're ready to date again?
You'll know when the breakup and the heartbreak is not at the forefront of your life. It's in the rear view mirror. Like, it's still kind of there. It maybe pops up once in a while, but you have a lot more space to connect with someone else. And you might not be 100% over, but you have enough space to begin connecting with someone else and taking things slow.
Taking it slow. Yeah. We heard from Rosie, who called in from Bloomer, couldn't stay with us. And Rosie's stepdaughter got a divorce after 25 years and now doesn't want the family to have anything to do with the ex. How should they deal with that situation?
A breakup is not just between two people. It is between two communities. And I'm not sure what the circumstances were for the breakup. If it was a bad breakup because it was a toxic relationship, or if there was a betrayal, those breakups tend to be different, where yes, you would often have a bit of an expectation that perhaps your community would support you by disconnecting from your ex. That said, social media has made it incredibly difficult to what I call disconnect from other people, because so often people will feel bad unfriending. Like, they, social media uses this language that makes it hard for us. Like, it feels like it's a really aggressive act as opposed to disconnecting.
Yeah.
And so many people will look at it as a sign of loyalty. But I think that's a lot to put on your family, because everyone's going to have a different relationship with their social media, the way they manage social media.
And you know, like, after 25 years, you might have developed a deep, close relationship with the mother-in-law, with that father-in-law. You know, there, you maybe call them or you see them. How does that work? How can you also disengage from that deep friendship?
So again, this also follows the trajectory of healing, where it could be that maybe at the beginning, you're not as connected with them until the person who you are, who maybe is like, until the person who's been broken up with is feeling better. And then they may not care as much the fact that you're connected to this, to their ex. But there needs to be a little bit of a grace period where they feel supported. I've had family members reach out to me because they were like mother-in-laws, because they were heartbroken if their son or daughter broke up with someone and they had a relationship with them. So it's true. It's heartbreak isn't just about the two people who are involved.
Yeah, it can feel like you're having to sever ties with a daughter or a son if you've gotten that close.
Yes.
Yeah. How can someone ensure that reconnecting with an ex will be different and not end for the same reasons it ended the last time?
There needs to be a lot more awareness and some sort of a plan so that you don't regress to that previous relationship. There needs to be a commitment to create something new and then monitor and assess as you're going along. And a lot of that is done through really open communication and regular check-ins. But it is possible. I have seen a number of people come back together and be stronger for it.
And what might happen at a regular check-in? What is that like?
These need to be built in. There are so many couples I know where they're not in the habit of having difficult conversation or conversations and checking in about, like, you know, how are you feeling about, you know, this or this part that led to their breakup in the first place before. And just like relationships, just like whether it's work or if you had a business, you wouldn't just expect that it would just organically drift to where you wanted to go. You need to intentionally be very proactive about the state and structure of your relationship.
So it sounds like communication is really key, especially, you know, things that didn't happen the first time, communicating differently the second time is really important.
Yes. And it can be so hard. It's incredibly vulnerable to share your heart. But once you begin practicing that and making it a regular part of your relationship, often whether you can say, you know, twice a month or even once a month, we're going to sit down and just kind of make sure that just kind of have a place where you can clear certain things in the relationship and also appreciate one another.
Natalia, thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
Natalia Juarez is a breakup coach and dating consultant. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. This is The Morning Show, and you're listening to the Ideas Network.